It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30, bringing you interviews and information regarding local nonprofit events and city and county services from Aspen to Rifle. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show, and talking Garfield County Fair today. Cassidy Evans is the Fair and Events Coordinator, and of course, Carla Farron is the Extension Agent working with 4-H kids. Normally really busy this time of year, and very busy this year as well, both of you. A lot of folks have, there's so many moving targets in all of this COVID-19 stuff. It's kind of hard to keep track from day to day what is still happening and to what extent. And there are a lot of 4-H events at the Garfield County Fair this year that are still happening with a footnote, with the asterisk after. And we'll talk about a lot of those today and, of course, give you resources where you can find additional information. So a lot of the big grandstand events, obviously, pretty early on, just because of ticketing and pre-sale and all of that, the Fair Board had to make that decision, and the commissioners, that they had to pull the plug.
Yes, with it not knowing where our numbers are going to be by end of July, through public health and through the state, it takes a lot of planning to plan those big grandstand events. So unfortunately, we had to call it sooner versus later.
Speaking of the state, we've heard a lot of conversations about the state versus local response to COVID-19. Obviously, CSU is a statewide university. 4-H programs are statewide in Colorado. How much does that come to bear on your ability to make decisions locally, Carla?
Well, we were put to virtual back in March, and we have just now, starting June 1st, been able to comply with the 10-person rule, which is state, and that was indoors and outdoors, even though our county outdoor numbers are a little bit higher. It's just been since June 15th that we've been able to increase some of our numbers. However, we're still limited in a lot of our aspects of what we can do. So even our 4-H shooting sports kids, we're limited with the number of kids on the range. So we still have 8 kids, 2 leaders, 10 people, because that's what will fit on that range. So we're still limited in what we're doing. We have to submit plans for everything to be approved, not only at the county level, the state level. So I write it to approve it here at the county. It goes to the state for 3 different signatures at the state to come back to the county for 1 more approval.
So you're actually doing more work this time this year than you were last year at the same time.
Yes. And I'm so thankful for Cassidy and Nancy and the Fair Board for helping us this year.
Sure, absolutely. Obviously, 4-H programs have always been a big part of the Garfield County Fair, Cassidy. And this year, with a lot of those grandstand events canceled, it's almost like the focus is maybe even more so on the 4-H programs.
Yeah, and I think that there's something to be said about that. I mean, the kids are the focus this year. They're the focus every year. It's just with so many moving parts with the grandstand events, it's hard for all eyes to be on the kids. And this year, like you said, that will definitely be on the kids and, you know, how we can support them and make sure that they're able to sell their animals. And I guess that could be a good thing that comes out of this year.
And so how will the livestock sale happen this year? I guess that's the big one. I know there are other 4-H programs. The livestock sale is really the big one for 4-H kids in this area, because it does give them an opportunity to recoup the money that was spent over the last year.
Right. And so livestock is gone virtual, so we will be doing an online auction through our Fair Entry program, which is what we will be using. It's what we've used for the last 4 or 5 years now for the fair, but it'll actually be virtual. So we're asking that people who would like to buy livestock, who have been buyers in the past, or new people who are wanting to look at how do you get some good meat to fill your freezer, they can call the Extension office at 625-3969, and we can connect them to the volunteers who are helping us make sure all the buyers are set up and how they log in to the virtual sale. The Livestock Marketing Committee is going to be meeting here soon to finalize separating the sale by categories, so like by beef, by pig, by sheep, so it makes it easier to get through the sale. Because typically when we do our sale, we do all the animals together. And putting 150 animals together for you to scroll through might be a little much. So we're going to downsize it a little bit. So if you are really looking at putting some lamb in the freezer, some goat in the freezer, that's how you're going to do it. Typically we sell by the pound, but this year because we're online, we're selling by the head. So the price that you put in to bid is going to be by the head.
So it's not you're bidding... What is the going price for beef on the hoof right now? Like 30?
I don't know beef on the hoof. Okay. I can tell you goat.
Okay.
Goat is 175 a head right now.
Okay. That's and a head means the whole
the
animal.
The whole animal.
So you're not bidding per pound. So there's not going to be a weigh-in or anything like
that.
Yeah,
we're going to have the kids submit their weight so we can tell you the approximate weight of that animal.
But it could change.
But it'll change when you hit the processor and the scales.
Okay. I'll tell you a story about weighing in animals during the next break. Carla and I always have these little 4-H things we share from time to time, although that's not really a 4-H story. But is the website still a good location for folks to find information about what is still happening at this year's fair, by the way?
Absolutely. So okay. GarfieldCountyFair.com. Right. And that will also give you information about the virtual sale. And just to clarify, the virtual sale is the only one that will be open to the public. The show will
won't
be open to the public.
Gotcha. So are you planning some kind of web feed or anything like that? Or
As far as the virtual show, the kids are having to create their own videos.
Okay.
And so for livestock, the four large livestock, so our beef, our sheep, our goats, our swine, those videos are 1 to 2 minute. So we might be able to pull some of that out. We're working on creating a YouTube channel or place to do it. But when you look at poultry and rabbit, those videos have been requested by the judges to be 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that is a long video when you're looking at 16 rabbits.
Yes, it is. I should probably be able to tell you what 16 times 5 is, but yeah, that's a lot of minutes.
So we're hoping to showcase some of the winners of each class on the Junior Livestock Sale Facebook page and maybe put it up that way, and we can move those videos across. But they're not professional quality videos. We don't know what they're going to look like. The families are really working hard at trying to shoot their own videos to be able to be a part of this so the judges can judge them virtually from where the judges are sitting at home on their computers.
Gotcha. 80 minutes. Actually, it's easy, right?
Quick math.
Because 16 times 10 would be 160, so half of that.
There you go.
Yeah. You give me long enough, I can figure it out. Again, GarfieldCountyFair.com is obviously the website for the Garfield County Fair, including information about the virtual sales, events that are happening. Again, this year, with things changing on almost a daily basis sometimes, it's important to check, even if there is an event where public is allowed, double check before you head down just to make sure that that's still the case.
Yeah, and we're going to encourage kids when they talk to buyers to actually send their buyers their own videos.
That's great.
So that the buyers can actually see what they're looking at. But when the buyers get onto the online auction, you're going to see a picture of the kid with the animal. You can go through the pictures of the judging, and I believe there's going to be an ability to have a link there so you can go watch the video of the animal being shown.
Again, if you would like to sign up to be a buyer at the livestock auction, just call the extension office at 625-3969. They'll get you set up, and we'll talk about what that process would look like. For folks that are listening that may not have bought an animal at the fair before, but with all we've heard in the news about the food supply chain and all that, a lot of people might be looking at it now that have not in the past. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're talking with Cassidy Evans, the Fair and Events Coordinator for Garfield County. And Carla Farron, of course, is the extension agent that works with a lot of 4-H kids. How many years now? 7, 8?
I'm on 6.
Is it only 6?
Yeah. Oh. In Garfield County.
Well, right. Yeah. Locally, that we've known each other anyway.
Yeah.
Wow. I can't believe it's only been 6 years. It seems like it's been longer. You're like an old friend.
There you go.
Again, Carla is normally very, very busy this time of year working with 4-H kids and parents getting everything ready to go for fair. And you add the extra elements of getting all of their activities approved now locally and at the state level. And so when do you sleep? Are you at least working from home? Does that give you, you know, commute time? Does that
I actually have an office at home, but I have actually been working in the main office. So I've been doing both. So I take my computer with me, and I have an office set up home. I plug in at home so I can continue working if I need to.
Do you have a docking station at your house, too?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Isn't that the neatest thing in the world?
It's the best.
So funny. 20 years ago, I had the opportunity to buy one of the old ones, and I thought, eh. But I'll tell you, the last 3 or 4 months, it's been fantastic.
I bet.
Just being able to plug in, and your monitors are all there, and yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about technology, although that is kind of where the conversation is going today. Again, a lot of stuff has gone virtual that can be done that way at the Garfield County Fair. I've actually heard some talk about maybe some other virtual events that we can't really talk about right now, but everybody's trying to do what they can to still get business done. Here's your favorite phrase, Ron, at the end of the day.
Yes.
Including the livestock sale. Again, if you want to sign up to be a buyer for the livestock sale, it's 625-3969. Let's step aside from the livestock sale for just a minute here. There are other 4-H events that can happen as well, again, under public health guidelines, like shooting sports. Shooting sports has exploded in the last few years. There are so many kids that are participating in this. And they'll still be able to participate even with what's going on.
Right. Our shooting sports program has grown. We dwindled a little bit this year just because of COVID and people not getting out. Because normally we're practicing starting in April. And because of it, we haven't actually been able to get on the range until June. Because we had to get through all of our guidelines and stuff. So we've started practice here in Rifle. Our Basalt kids didn't get a start till last week.
Wow.
Because of their range closures up there. So we will still have our shooting sports contest because shooting sports is one of those things you can't teach virtually. You got to be in person to teach the proper safety and the life skills that are a part about the education of 4-H.
Although I did take down my fair share of buckskin on the Oregon Trail back in the day.
Yes, back in the day, right. So, however, we're trying to teach them, you know, the proper shooting of paper targets and how it's a contest, you know, getting up to that. But we're teaching them the life skills about how to be responsible for your firearm, how to always make it safe.
Safety.
What is
the
proper place for the firearm? Who are the adults that need to be around? So there's a lot of parameters that go with shooting sports. So we will still be having our shooting sports contest. Again, the kids have to pre-register with all of our shooting sports stuff to be able to practice and to shoot. So we're limited on most of our ranges to 8. Shotgun range for trap, you can only have 5 anyway. So it's 5 in a heat there with 2 leaders. So there's only 7 people on the range. So we're well under our numbers of 10. And because the rifle range is so large, we're able to have archery practice at the same time. We can have a shotgun practice.
Gotcha.
Because they're far enough apart.
That they're different groups.
They're different groups. Okay. And so we've literally gone out and painted lines and painted marks and trying to make sure the kids are safe. But they're also required to have their face coverings, as well as our leaders to have their face coverings in the pocket. Because if a child needs special instruction, needs help, or we happen to have a ceasefire because the deer decided to run across the range and a firearm's loaded, then that leader and that child have face coverings to put on to make sure we're unloading that rifle correctly.
And again, when you're talking about 8 kids on the range at a time, that's with 2 adult
8 kids,
leaders.
2 adults, and 6 feet between every kid. So there's 6 feet between every line that they're shooting from.
Now, have the shooting sports leaders been in touch with the shooting sports kids or...
Yeah, we've been practicing, so we've been working on that. They've been having virtual meetings, so their club meetings are still virtual, but the practice is in person.
Gotcha.
So so we've been practicing on Mondays. Ayers practices on Thursdays, and because it's indoors, we're limited just as much. And so we've been working through all the parameters, working with public health, our state officials, making sure we're following everything that we're supposed to be following and trying to make sure we're following those rules. So when it gets to contests, we were working on that last night virtually because we can only have virtual meetings. at this point in time, how we're going to lay it out to make sure that kids who are in multiple, like archery and shotgun, how they're going to shoot one event and keep those same kids together for the next event.
Obviously, what's happening now with it, you know, virtual meetings and that kind of thing, that's fine for existing 4-H members. Have you had any discussions about how you could onboard a new member?
It's difficult for new members. It is very difficult. I've had lots of conversation with many of our new members that this is a challenge, and it's connecting them up to their discipline leader that is really going to help them be successful for this year. Understanding that shooting sports, not only do they have a contest at the range, but they have to exhibit an educational display to complete their project. The shooting is not the completion of the project. It's exhibiting that educational display. So what are the proper parts of a compound bow? What are the proper equipment that you need to be able to shoot that at the range? You have to have a quiver holder that can't be on your bow. You have to have an arm guard. You know, what are the things that you have to have for equipment and supplies? So a lot of them are working on creating those educational displays, as well as the record book on what did it cost to do practice this year? What did it cost to make my project? What were my scores for practice?
Wow. Yeah, the record book. I still have nightmares about the record book.
It's a key life skill for the rest of your life.
That's very good. You know, just record keeping and keeping track of everything. And
goal setting,
being
finances.
Able to reconcile it all at the end. Reconcile not just from a monetary standpoint, but, you know, overall, you know, what did I learn? What lessons are there?
And as you become a senior, you know, planning on budgets, and that goes back to what we all do. We create a budget every year. Right. To run the fair or to do different things. And those are life skills that we use every day.
And hopefully you don't have things like COVID-19 to throw a monkey wrench into that budget.
<I'm not.
laughs> So that's shooting sports. What other 4-H activities are still able to happen to some degree?
We'll be able to have our 4-H dog show.
Okay. Dog show, sure.
The dog show, which will be the 4-H members with their dogs. And possibly family members, depending on where we are at numbers at the time. So we start with our smallest amount of number, and if we get to increase, then we bring family in.
Gotcha. Okay.
I don't know that we're going to get past that point of just bringing family in. I don't know that it's going to be open to the public. It'll probably be a closed dog show with the members and just family members.
And again, it goes back and forth. You know, you have days where you're kind of optimistic and you're thinking, okay, well, maybe things are looking good. And then, you know, you hear new numbers or different things that are happening and you think, oh, well,
exactly.
Maybe, yeah.
Well, and when you think about the dog show, we don't always think about this, but we had to socialize the dogs. So we've been practicing, but they've been practicing in smaller groups because of our numbers.
Right.
And, of course, they still have to have face coverings, and they have to stay 6 feet apart minimum, if not more, when they're working in dog practice. And the challenge with working with dogs, if you have to wear a face covering, that could be considered for a dog as an aggressive thing.
Yeah, a lot of dogs don't like
hats. So we're really focusing on
how
to socialize these dogs to make it a safe environment for the kids and the dogs. So introducing face coverings in an event may be a challenge for us. So that's why when we look at the indoor arena, each exhibitor has to have a 15-foot square foot section for them and their dog for setting up to be ready to go into obedience class or to rally class. So with 15 members, I have 15 square foot sections I have to tape off so they all have their own space, and we're probably going to have family members stay in that space.
Wow.
So there's a lot of planning and mapping involved.
Speaking of the record book and planning and keeping track.
So, yeah, it's just mapping out that, working with our leaders so they understand.
Sure. Cassidy, you were a 4-H kid, too,
I
remember, in Wyoming, right?
New Mexico.
Okay.
Close.
Wrong direction. Another one of those states that we share a border with.
I know. Yeah, I showed lambs and pigs. So that was a long time ago, it feels like. And things have changed so much.
Well, especially this year.
Yeah, especially this year. But I sympathize for the kids because they're working hard. So we're really proud of them.
And speaking of working hard, you and Nancy, I know, have put a lot of hours in, as you always do. And like Carla, you're putting a lot of extra hours in trying to figure out what is possible under public health guidelines and how can you make happen with what time you have available.
Right. And it's kind of like you just said, I mean, it's all based on numbers and I feel like they're constantly changing. So the Fair Board gets really excited that we're maybe able to put on smaller events and then we may have more cases of COVID. So those numbers, you know, don't look promising, but I will express that the Fair Board and the commissioners really do want to do events for the community that, you know, we can. It's just, it's risky business right now.
There's no question in my mind, everybody, you know, commissioners and Fair Board, wants to do something.
Badly, yes.
Yeah.
We do, but then, you know, you run the risk of, if you open up even small events, because they will have to be capped at a certain number, whatever that number is, mm-hmm. based at the end of July and what we can plan mm-hmm. that quickly, how do you limit who can come and who can't? So we're really just focusing on the youth. You know, with school being homeschooled the last month or two and, you know, 4-H not being able to come together, the kids, and show their animals and do the sale. I think that if we can do any sort of events, it will be tailored to the kids in the community in all of Garfield County, not just 4-H, but we certainly want to give them an opportunity to maybe get together and, of course, social distance.
Right, yeah. That's so. Could be the biggest curse word to come from 2020, you know.
Yeah, I feel like every sentence we have to incorporate social distancing
I know,
now.
I know. COVID-19, coronavirus,
yes.
and social distancing will be, you know, words not to be spoken.
I know. We won't want to hear them ever
this
again.
This is all, yes, exactly. Never, ever, never speak those words.
That's right.
Voldemort will be a more accepted word than, you know, any of those. One final break. We'll come back and wrap things up with Carla and Cassidy in just a minute. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon we're talking with Carla Farron. She's the extension agent dealing with 4-H kids in our area. And Cassidy Evans is the Farron Events Coordinator for Garfield County. Obviously, kind of sad times, and yet, like everybody else, figuring out ways to get as much done as you can, given the circumstances, right, for both of you. Again, we talked about the livestock sale, and we'll walk through the process of signing up to be a buyer for the livestock sale, as I promised. I don't want to forget about that. But another one of the really big events at the Garfield County Fair every year is open class.
Yes.
This has also increased quite a bit over the last few years, and you are still going to be able to make open class happen. Again, it's going to be in a modified way.
Right. It will basically be virtual as well. So this year will be different in that more than likely we won't have spectators. And also you will be asked to drop off your items. So we will have volunteers that will come out to your vehicle, pick your items up, make sure all your paperwork is complete. And I'll let Carla talk about when we start that and when the deadline is for that. We do plan to do some live videos so that the people who have entries can see other entries in their category via Facebook. So we encourage people who are participating to hop on Facebook so they can see as if they were in the building. There'll be quick videos, but we think that that might be fun for the community to see. And I'll let Carla talk more about the hours.
So with drop-off, we're going to start on July 24th, which is a Friday, go from 9 to 3. And we're really looking for the arts and crafts, photography, fine arts, needlework, and quilting to come in that Friday and Saturday. And both days will be 9 to 3. We will start Sunday, July 26th. At 9 a.m. and go to 6 p.m. And that's where you can start bringing in gardening, food preservation, fermentation, flower exhibits. And our last day for entries to come through is going to be on Monday, July 27th, again from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. So at 6 p.m. we cut off all entries coming in so that we can set up the rooms And we're going to be using two halls this year to be able to space everything out so that we can get judges socially distanced, the volunteers socially distanced, to be able to judge those items.
And again, not open to the public. You're talking about two different halls for judges and to make sure that they can, you know, maintain that 6-foot distance.
Right. And we will put that information that Carla just shared on our website as well. So everybody knows based on your category what day to drop off.
Gotcha.
So again, we encourage you to go to Garfield County Fair.
GarfieldCountyFair.com. And again, open class drive-through drop-offs starting on Friday, July 24th, and then finishing on Monday, the 27th. Again, the schedule for each day will be there. You mentioned Facebook and sharing a lot of pictures and videos on Facebook. Which Facebook page?
It's the Garfield County Fair Facebook page.
Okay.
All of open class will be shared there. And anything that we're focusing on during fair that is that we're there for, obviously, we'll put online so people can view. But, again, okay. We're not quite sure what all that's going to be.
Right, exactly. It's still a moving target.
Exactly.
If you know what I mean, speaking of shooting sports. GarfieldCountyFair.com and the Garfield County Fair Facebook page then.
Yes.
for updates. Carla, what about State Fair? Do you know what's going to happen with the State Fair this year?
State Fair at this time, 4-H exhibits will be able to go down. So we're going to do, the 4-H kids have to schedule to drop off their projects. They will be judged over 3 days. Typically we do 1 day, but it's going to be a 3-day to space out judging. The ones that qualify for State Fair, I will be able to drive them down, drop them off, and come back. And then they will be judged at State Fair level. They're still planning on doing some type of livestock show. So the kids who have nominated and that have completed their DNA testing for their animals will be able to do some type of livestock show. We'll hear final word on that over the next few weeks of how that's playing out. As far as state shoot, it will be virtual for shooting sports. And you're looking at me very funny for virtual. So each county will have a period of 45 days, actually longer than that. We have from July 16th through September 30th to prepare for our state virtual shoot with our kids who qualified. Garfield County leaders have set our dates at the end of August that we will plan to do virtual shoots with our kids. And we're going to ask some of our surrounding counties, like our kids in Rio Blanco County, because we have a larger range, to at least have those kids be able to come down and shoot with our kids, because it is a contest.
Mm.
And, you know, be able to have that opportunity to shoot.
So you'll basically film while they're shooting?
No, we can film while we're shooting, but we're actually doing what's called Orion, which is an electronic scoring system.
Oh, okay.
So Garfield County, we own two of those sets of Orion scoring, so we can actually help counties who don't have those scoring systems be able to score and upload into the state virtual shoot.
Is this something we can charge other counties for the
counties are to provide their own targets to shoot. We're working with Rio Blanco because they're really trying to get to the system, because I introduced it to them last year.
Gotcha.
So they're going to be using our system for their county shoot this year. So that's why I think we'll be able to bring them down and help. Moffitt County owns their own system. I'm not sure. I think Mesa, the Tri-River area, Mesa Delta and them have a system. But trying to figure out who has the systems, who don't, and how we as state superintendents, because I'm a state superintendent in shooting sports, can help those counties. So we have three state superintendents for state shoot in this area.
And you're all trying to help each other.
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to help and make it successful for the kids.
I was kind of joking when I said that, although, you know, if they want to help out, you know, help pay for another machine, that probably would be welcome.
But it would be very welcome for those counties to be able to have it for their plan.
Usually when we have conversations about the fair, obviously website is a big topic of conversation, and I usually refer folks to the fair book. I'm assuming Fair Book is not happening this year?
It is not happening this year. Okay. No, unfortunately, there just wasn't really much of a need for it.
Right, sure.
So no Fair Book.
Okay.
However, the open class book is online at the Garfield County Fair website. So you can go to Garfield County Fair, go to open class, come down. You can see the open class book, and right below that is a link to enter.
And again, start dropping off those open class entries on July 24th. So to wrap things up, back to the livestock sale. Again, livestock buyers will have to register for the online auction at fairentry.com. We've given the phone number a couple times for the extension office because you said it's kind of complicated how that process
works. We want to make sure we walk them through and make it easy as possible so that all they have to do when the sale opens up is log on and go see their sale and bid.
And the sale hours, Carla,
we're starting the sale on July 30th at noon, and we'll end at August 1st at noon.
So they'll have a few days.
So it's not, I'm still thinking of a live auction. I'm still thinking of like a 3 or 4 hour period. So it will be a several day kind of thing.
So it'll allow opportunities. If a new buyer wants to come in, they can still call the office. We can help them get set up and come in.
Again, that number is 625-3969 if you'd like to sign up to be a buyer at this year's Garfield County Fair and Rodeo Livestock Sale. And again, the prices this year will not be by the pound. To simplify, it'll be by the head. So when you're bidding the price for the whole animal.
That is correct.
Do you have any idea about numbers of, how many cows, how many sheep, how many lamb, chickens?
We still have a good amount.
We still have a good amount. I believe there's going to be 25 to 30 beef.
Okay.
A lot of it, and I think there will be close to 40 to 60 hogs. I'm guessing off the top of my head because I don't have my computer in front of me to pull up the numbers.
But quite a few.
Yeah, I'll have final numbers over the next few weeks.
Well, and the kids still have the opportunity to
not sell this year.
So
they
we
can
won't
create
have
private
firm
treaties.
Numbers.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Just depending on what their particular situation is.
Right.
But again, for a lot of folks, with everything that's been going on, it's a great opportunity to help out local young people, 4-H kids. And as Carla, as you said at the beginning, put some meat in the freezer.
Meat in the freezer.
Yeah, there's
That's
a
what
shortage
we all
right
like
now.
Come wintertime.
Yes.
I know. You can't get a triple at Wendy's.
And that matters.
It does. Again, pertinent information to today's conversation, GarfieldCountyFair.com, the Garfield County Fair Facebook page, and 625-3969, which is the extension office at the fairgrounds. Anything else important that we should mention that folks would probably want to know that we haven't talked about yet?
I think the only thing we didn't mention is that we are encouraging all open class participants to please register your entries as soon as you can. It's open now, and it will just make the process a lot quicker when you arrive for the drive-through process. So you can access that, again, through GarfieldCountyFair.com. But we are asking everybody to please enter sooner versus later.
All right. So get registered. If you want to put something into open class, make sure you register now to make it as smooth as possible.
Absolutely.
Again,
yes.
GarfieldCountyFair.com. Sounds like you're planning on coming back maybe sometime in July for another update, perhaps?
I think so, based on where our numbers are and what we're planning every day, like you said, changes. So we have constant updates, I feel like.
Fair enough. Yeah. I feel like I get a majority of the information, and I can't usually keep up with, what the latest is sometimes.
I know. And right when you get it planned, it changes.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Then, it is a moving target.
Yes.
Right. You don't have any shooting sports events with moving targets, though, right? Well, I guess the shotgun, because you do clays,
shotgun,
right?
We do clays, and the only other one that would be similar is Western Heritage, because it still targets move.
Mm. Okay. So literally and figuratively, it's a moving target. All the best, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Again, GarfieldCountyFair.com, Garfield County Fair Facebook page, and then, of course, the extension office number 625-3969. All the best. Talk to you soon. You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.